to a question, which we find in verse 36, which is the great commandment in the law. In Christ's response, he gives a summary of the law. That is the basis of observing the law. Whether that be the commandments that refer directly to God, the first four commandments, or whether it be the commandments that have reference to one another, he gives a summary. Verse 37, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. You get that straight, everything else falls in line. Get that straight. That's the foundation. Verse 39, and the second is like unto it. Now, the lawyer only asked, which is the? What is the one commandment? Yet Christ gives a twofold answer. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments, love to God, love to neighbor, we're told the degree in which we're to love God, we're to love him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. We're also told the degree to which we love our neighbor. We're to love him as we love ourselves. On these two commandments, love to God and love to neighbor, hang all the law and the prophets. We looked last week on love to God, and we see that, of course, that's foundational. But also love to neighbor is foundational for commandments 5 through 10. In Luke chapter 10, we have the parable of the Good Samaritan. And there are many, many, many applications to be made from that parable. We see it's a beautiful picture of salvation, and it's preached that way many times. We've preached it that way many times ourselves. Many applications, many beautiful pictures that can be drawn from this parable. But sometimes we forget the reason the parable was spoken. The reason the parable was spoken was to reveal who is our neighbor and love to neighbor. That's the main focus of the parable. In verse 36 of Luke chapter 10, or I'm sorry, verse 29 of Luke chapter 10, but he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And who is my neighbor? Verse 30, and Jesus answering said, a certain man, and then he gives this parable. In response to the question, who is my neighbor? Then after giving the parable, verse 36, which now of these three? There was a publican, there was a priest, and there was the Samaritan. Which of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do likewise. So the main teaching of the parable is who is our neighbor and how we are to treat our neighbor. Who was the neighbor to the Samaritan? Was it someone that he knew? No. He didn't know that man. He's walking down the street and there he is. So a neighbor is not limited to the person who lives next door to you. or the person who lives on the same street. It's all of humanity. Someone that we do not even know. It's one living near another. That's true. That's one definition of a neighbor. But it's also our fellow man. Our fellow man. Love thy neighbor as thyself. So we are to love our fellow man as we love ourselves. Now, the truth is, neighbors would include enemies. An enemy is a neighbor. It's your fellow man. It's one who may be living near to you, but your neighbor. And we're to love him as we love ourselves. Again, if this is so, if we love God, we're not going to put someone ahead of God. We're going to observe his day and do all the first four commandments. If we love our neighbor, we're not going to steal from him. We wouldn't want someone to steal from us. We're not going to commit adultery. We're not going to lie about him. So love to neighbor is foundational. But it includes our enemies. In Exodus chapter 23, and verse 4, if thou meet thine enemy's ox or his ass going astray, now you're walking along and there's an ox or a mule that is going astray, and you immediately are able to identify them as, you know, that's my enemies, that's so-and-so's ox, that's so-and-so's mule. What are we to do? Thou shalt surely bring it back to him again. That is loving thy neighbor as thyself. Well, he shouldn't have let his ox loose. That's his problem. That's not what we're to do. Proverbs 24, verse 17. Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth. Something bad happens to your enemy. We're not to rejoice in such. Proverbs 25, verse 21 and 22. If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. Here's the benefit. It's not the reason for doing so, but it's a benefit. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you. Again, that's not our nature. It's not in us, naturally, to wish someone well that curses you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Again, that's loving our neighbor as ourselves. And we see this throughout the Scriptures. So a neighbor would include our enemies. A neighbor would include strangers, people we do not know. Again, the parable. The Samaritan did not know that man who fell among thieves. Neither did the priest know him. But this would include strangers, people we don't know. Exodus 22, Exodus 22, verse 21. Thou shalt neither vex a stranger, that is, mistreat him, nor oppress him, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Leviticus 19:34, we see same truth is taught. We see it taught again in Deuteronomy. We see it again taught in Matthew chapter 25. So we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. Leviticus 19, verse 18, this is enforced because it is the law of God. That we are to love our neighbor. Not only is it the law of God, but it is also the foundation for the Ten Commandments. It is enforced by the fact that love is of God and God is love. 1 John 4, verse 7 and 8. What enforces love to neighbor is that love is of God and God is love. Another thing that enforces it is God's love to us. 1 John 4, verses 9 through 11. We're to love one another because God loves us. Simply because God loves me, God loves you, we are to love others. What if they curse us? Does that change God's love for us? No, it doesn't. So therefore, we are to love them. Did we curse God? Many of us did. Yet God loved us. God blessed us. This love for others is a manifestation of the new birth. Again, 1 John. Read the book of 1 John. There's much there about love to God. There's much there about God's love. There's much there about love toward others. It is also a manifestation of a knowledge of God. 1 John 4 and verse 8 again. It is a manifestation that our spiritual condition, it is a manifestation of our spiritual condition, whether or not we love humanity. And it is a manifestation of God's love. It is also a manifestation of discipleship. It's a manifestation of identity with the Lord. The Bible, 1 John, makes it abundantly clear that if you do not love others, you're lost. I mean, it's abundantly clear in 1 John. This love for others is a byproduct of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5, verse 22, one of the fruit of the Spirit is love. That, of course, includes a love for God, but it also includes a love for others. For if you love God, you love others. It is a byproduct of the teaching of God. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 9. We are taught of God to love one another. The love that we owe to our neighbor would include a proper esteem of our neighbor, would be the opposite of thinking lightly upon him. It would be sympathy toward our neighbor. It would be helpfulness toward our neighbor. It would be burden-bearing, bearing the burdens of our neighbor. It would be kindness and compassion. And 1 Timothy 2 and verses 1 through 3, we're to pray for all men. We're to pray for everybody. So this love shows itself in prayer. Thou shalt love thy neighbor, how? As thyself. Now, the Bible also teaches us that we are to hate ourselves. Job said, I abhor myself. I abhor myself. Paul, in Romans chapter 7, basically declares his self-hatred. But there is a sense in which every human being loves themselves. And that love causes us to do certain things. It causes us to eat when we're hungry. It causes us to drink when we're thirsty. Why? Because we don't want to be hungry and we don't want to be thirsty. Love to ourselves is active. We do certain things because we love ourselves. It's habitual. You do it over and over and over again. So when we're told to love our neighbor as ourselves, that means our love toward others is to be active. It means that it is to be habitual. It's to be over and over and over. Love to ourselves causes us to be concerned about our own welfare. Why are we concerned about our health? Why are we concerned about our own welfare? Because we love ourselves. And we are to be concerned for our welfare. Why, if you were told today that you had some deadly disease, some horrible disease, and you're going, your time is very short and it's going to be hard, you're going to suffer a lot of pain, why would that upset us? Because we love ourselves. We don't want to be in pain. Or anyone here. I mean, if you're mentally normal, you don't want to be in pain. And self-love causes us to be concerned. So we're to love our neighbors as ourselves. That is, we're to be concerned for their well-being. Well, they did it to themselves. That might be. And the health problem that you are diagnosed with, you might have done to yourself too, but that doesn't change the fact that you're going to be concerned for it. Self-love causes us to grieve personal calamities. We grieve loss. Again, it's self-love. And we're not condemning self-love. Again, the Bible says we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. So there is a degree of self-love that is acceptable. Of course, you can go to the extreme, which our society has. But self-love causes us to grieve. We ought to be able to grieve with other human beings. I ought to be able to grieve for them, on behalf of them. Well, I don't even know them. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Again, you can't help but watch the news and you see someone's child has been shot or whatever. You can't help but feel sorrow for them. You can't help but feel for them. Again, loving our neighbor as ourself. So these two things, love God with all that is in us. That's a foundation of keeping the commandments. Another foundation of keeping the commandments is love the neighbor. Why is it that the Ten Commandments, other than, I understand, the depravity of man, but why is it that the Ten Commandments today are totally disregarded by so many? There is no love for God. And there is no love for others. And you take away those two things, and there's no reason to keep the Ten Commandments. When someone steals from a store, they don't love that store owner. They're not concerned about that store owner's family. They're not concerned about any of those things. Now, if they loved their neighbor, they would say, you know, I'm hungry and I need money. But you know what? That man there has a family and he needs to feed himself. I'm not going to take from him because I love my neighbor. You see, that it would fix all that. Same with, again, any of the commandments. Adultery. Someone says, I'm going to go out with that man's wife. If you love your neighbor, you'd say, yeah, I can't do that. I can't do that to that man. I can't do that to her. I can't do that to my family. Love the neighbor. Love to family should keep us from doing a lot of things. love for church should keep us from doing a lot of things. I just can't do that because I love those people. And it would hurt them. And I don't want to hurt them. So it's a deterrent. So this Christ's summary of the law is very important as far as a basis for keeping these commands. Next week we'll look at the preface of the Ten Commandments. Let's look to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for this day. Lord, we pray that you would be honored and glorified in everything that we say and everything that we do this day. Lord, we pray that we would feel your presence. Pray, Lord, that you would move in our hearts. Lord, that you would make an impact in our lives this day. And we pray, Lord, for the lost, that you would open their hearts to salvation. We pray, Lord, that we would exalt you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.